go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Sorry for the delay. My throat feels, I don't know, it's changing the weather or something. My throat feels like I gargled with sandpaper. Ugh. Anyway, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It's 2 minutes past the hour, And, well, wander on over and jump in the chat room. That's where I'm headed now. Things will cooperate. Java. Good to know you're there, Ron. Ron in the unfrozen north. He says, got my ears on, and I'm ready to be an inspired, outraged, giggling Hornedanista. Well, that'll probably cover all the bases. I don't know, you know, it got cold over the weekend, cool over the weekend. Today it was like summer. I mean, like 70s. Had to turn the AC back on in the studio. And, bleh. Sorry, that was a gross noise, but yuck. Yeah, so that's kind of where we are this evening. It is, of course, Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Which, well, is another one of those evenings when we seem never to have be at a loss for information. Remember, on Titanic Tuesday, we celebrate the Titanic attempt at intellects that are manifested on a regular and, nay, perhaps minute-by-minute basis in the right wing. Yeah, you may recall that Titanic Tuesday, and this is Tuesday, the third day of November, not February, 2015. Titanic Tuesday gets its name from something that happened a few years back when the monotone radio host in the morning over in Beckley took a call from one of his faithful, knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking followers who asked him, how come it is they seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the sea. To which he replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Mm-hmm. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic butter dish. No. Lot of stuff on the Titanic table there. Yeah. But so we celebrate right-wing idiocy and attempts at cerebral activity. On this day. This is, of course, a listener-supported effort, a listener-supported broadcast community, and that means y'all are the ones who keep all of this going. And a reminder that we have an effort to find 400 people, members of our community, who will subscribe and commit to $10 a month. And that number is growing. This was all Joan's idea. She called in Friday evening. And we've added to that number. Thank you, Glenn. And thank you, Elizabeth. And thank you, Janice. And thank you to Terry. All of you. Thank you, one and all, for signing on for $10 a month. You know, if we ever get to that 400 number, I can stop doing fundraising every evening. As it is, we try to raise $200 every evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12 and a quarter, 1250, 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.12.5. Yeah, but the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com, right, and that's where you go and you do all, then the next page, and you use PayPal, credit cards, that kind of thing. And, of course, I got to thinking. You know, I mentioned the crowdfunding campaign, and the nearer we get to the holiday season, the less likely that is to succeed, I think. I don't know. I'm of two minds about it. But I do have, courtesy of our buddy Scott in Sweden, I've got a box of bumper stickers. There's a total of 500, but I figured we would set back 50 of each just around here for general purposes. But there are a total of 400. One of them shows an image created by our buddy Scott of a pig in a top hat with a dollar symbol on it. The pig is wearing a monocle, and it says, well, what we say so often here, they want it all. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a bumper sticker with the horn logo on it. So what I'm going to do, and Scott even provided postage for these things. Everybody who signs up for a $10 monthly subscription. Yeah, I'm just gonna. I'll need your address, your mailing address, and I'll send you a bumper sticker. Wouldn't that be cool? So there we have it. Thank you very kindly to Scott for making that happen, and thank you all for jumping in line. I'll go through, and anybody who has subscribed since we started Joan's subscription campaign, I'll send you a bumper sticker, and probably a few others of you as well. Okay, cool. And just to let you know, I do have some other mailings to do soon, and hopefully we will get those out of the way. Now, to the business at hand. Okay, and remember, if you want to do the subscription, when you go to headonradionetwork.com/contribute, you'll see it there. There are little dots that you can fill in for how much you want to contribute, and then it says make this a recurring monthly contribution, and you click yes, and you're off and running. Okay. So, yeah, Titanic Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness me, where to start? Well, goodness. You know what? We talked a little bit about, again, some more. We talked about firearms yesterday. And we talked in particular about the story out of Colorado. Well, guess what? It turns out that before the Christian man started killing people, you know, because Jesus told him to in his head, before he started killing people in Colorado Springs this past Saturday, someone noticed him out there carrying his open carry Freedom Protector. Wolverines and all that. And according to the witness in question, he didn't look screwed down too tight, is a, I think, a good way of putting it. Yeah. He didn't look at all home. And so, this concerned citizen, this person who lives in Colorado Springs and wants to remain a living person and wanted for her neighbors to remain alive, she picked up the phone. And the Denver Post reports that she called 911. Naomi Bettis said that the man, she said he did have a distraught look on his face. It looked as though he had a rough couple of days or so. Yeah, he was a pom-pom short of a cheerleader costume. Mm-hmm. And so there he is walking through her neighborhood with enough firepower to start a small war. Noah Harpum, looking like he'd had a rough couple of days. And he had. Apparently he had just set fire to his house. And he was upset about the church that Daddy was going to. Oh, yeah. And, of course, he went on down and killed three people before he committed suicide by cop, and the cops put 20 rounds through him. But here's what happened. Naomi Bettis picked up the phone and called 911 and said, "There's a guy walking through my neighborhood with an assault rifle. Please do something. Send cops out here. It looks like he hadn't had a good day." And the 911 dispatcher said, "No, ma'am, we're not going to do that. I'm going to decline to send police out just because you're afraid of a man with a gun." Really? Mm-hmm. Not this, they really. The 911 dispatcher explained to Naomi Bettis that open carry was the law, legal freedom of legal, law-abiding, gun-loving, freedom-protecting Merkins in Colorado, Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible under God. Oh, and, Wolverines! Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, 911 dispatch. Said, "No, this is open carry state. We're not going to send somebody out. We're not going to send our hard-working police officers out just because there's a guy walking down the street gunned up with an AR-15 semi-automatic military-style assault rifle. No, we're not going to do that because that might offend him because he's got a right, damn it." Meanwhile, it is worth noting that while 33-year-old Noah Harpum had a right to carry his freedom protector out into the street, mm-hmm. 35-year-old Andrew Allen Myers, 42-year-old Jennifer Michelle Vasquez, and 34-year-old Christina Rose Bacchus Galela, well, they didn't have a right to go on and have Saturday turn into Sunday. They didn't get to see us go from daylight savings time back to Mountain Standard Time. Cause see, Noah Harpum was a white man. Right. Of course, back in Ohio, a 12-year-old black boy was reported to have a gun, and the police were 911 immediately dispatched police to him, where within 2 seconds of getting out of the car, they had blown Tamir Rice right away. And then there's Darian Hunt, another black man. He was carrying a replica sword along a street in Ohio. Police up to him and blew him right away. Because obviously he was a danger to public safety. Do we see how this works? I think so. Brother Deacon Asa with a question. It says, can the police department dispatchers be sued now that they were warned and people lost their lives? Probably not. Probably not. Because it's true. In Colorado, you can carry a damn bazooka down the middle of Main Street or whatever the main drag is and any other avenue, boulevard, thoroughfare, strasse, rue, calle, whatever in Colorado Springs. Because it's enshrined in law that you can just carry a gun most anywhere you want to. And after all, he was just kind of in a neighborhood. I mean, people have all kinds of guns in neighborhoods in Colorado, right? Tough way to begin the program. It's almost like every day in America now is August the 6th, 2001. And all get handed a citizen's daily briefing saying gun owners determined to strike in U.S. And just like George Bush, the authorities ignore it because freedom and bigger fish to fry. Anybody want to run the odds on what would have happened if that had been a Muslim man with an AR-15? Legal niceties would not have been quite so at the forefront of 911 dispatch's mind, do you think? Yeah, I know. Certainly, well, feels that way. Now, meanwhile, down Florida Stanway, where they stand their ground, even when the ground opens up and sinks beneath them, because, well, Florida. Carol Baker pointed this out earlier today. Folks went in. Well, and what Carol says is, good morning. My name is Chlamydia Jean, and I'll be your waitress. So, sir, you wanted the meatloaf dinner and a side salad with some ranch dressing. Then you wanted a side of fried apples and some of our famous hash brown casserole. Boom! And an ambulance. And an ambulance? Yes, an ambulance. I'll get right on that. And a drink? Because that's what happened. Folks walked into the Sanford, Florida Cracker Barrel and sat down to breakfast. And, of course, one of the people having breakfast was there to protect freedom. Wolverines! Yeah. To protect freedom at the Sanford, Florida Cracker Barrel restaurant. Maybe that one needs to be renamed Smoking Blue Steel Barrel Restaurant. Uh-huh. sat down to his breakfast, and then his freedom protector, which was properly holstered for proper freedom protecting there in Florida, because, well, you never know. The only way to stop a bad man with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And then what happens when the good guy with the gun turns into a bad guy with the gun? Well, it just gets very confusing, very bloody, very quickly. So there he was. He was a sitting down to his hash brown casserole, I favor the country fried snake there at Cracker Barrel, and some hash brown casserole, some fried apples. And you know, if you ask for apple butter, you have to request it. They will bring you apple butter with your biscuits. And it beats any jam or jelly halfway around the block. It really does. And so he sits there, and his freedom protector just falls right out of his freedom protecting holster. And of course, when it hits, they got hard. It's not carpeted there in the blue smoking blue steel smoking Cracker Barrel. The floors are kind of hard. It's tough on the server's feet in an 8-hour shift. You can rest assured that's hard work. It's harder work though when there's pieces of bullet and floor and shrapnel and stuff flying around you. Yeah. No, actually, I'm being rough on the freedom protector. He hadn't sat down to his breakfast yet. He was just walking. He was just walking through the restaurant when his freedom protector fell out of his holster. And went kawhap on the floor and kabang, and three people got shot. You don't get bullet action like that. But it is November, and magic bullets have been known to fly around in November. Yep, William Hoback was headed for the checkout counter. You know, past all them candies and stuff, and the little gym cracks, and the gee-jaws, and the frou-frous, and the bric-a-brac that you can buy there. And standing there at the counter, and then just, whoop, and his freedom protector falls right out of the wallet, and bang! One diner said he was eating his breakfast when he heard a loud bang, and that was followed by a sharp burning pain in his left shin. Turned out his leg was badly cut by shrapnel. And he had to go to the hospital. The Cracker Barrel manager got hit by shrapnel. And Freedom Protector Hoback's fiance, financier, got hit by the shrapnel. But it's okay. It's okay. Because when he realized what had happened, and I don't know what the space of time is that's involved with that kind of a realization. I really don't. When he realized what happened, Hoback said, "Mercy sakes alive, I am so sorry. It was an accident." You know, if you ever go and spend 3 years having a cup of coffee in law school, first semester of your first year, 1L as they call it, will feature a class called torts, and it has nothing to do with Austrian pastries. It is T-O-R-T-S, and it comes from some sort of ancient legalish French, probably. Everything else seems to. And a tort is a wrong, an actionable wrong that is civil in nature and not criminal. Things we often call accidents.
It was an accident! I'm really sorry.
I thought I had my freedom protector just strapped right in there, but you know, I reached back there from a wallet, and I guess I knocked, and it falled out on the floor, and I hate it that y'all got peppered with shrapnel. Well, at least you didn't get the bullet. And the deputies, well, the deputies did, and see, they're very good at showing up after the gun goes off. I mean, the cops didn't waste any time getting to Colorado Springs after the lawful gun owner became an awful gun owner. And the deputies got right there to the Sanford, Florida cracker blue smoking steel smoking blue steel barrel. Got right there. And Mr. Hoback said, "Good morning, deputies. I sure am sorry to y'all too. I mean, there's three people in pools of blood over here from the shrapnel, but they didn't get the bullet. And deputies, it was an accident. And you know what the deputies did? They said, well, gall darn it, ho back, it sure does seem to me like that's the case. It definitely seems like an accident. So you being a white man and everything, we ain't going to shoot you. And we're not going to arrest you, and we're not going to give you a ticket, and we're not going to go to the prosecutor and let him develop a case and get the judge or the magistrate or whatever to issue a summons to come and appear in court for violating the criminal code of the state of Florida, because accidents happen. But anyway, what I was saying is, if you ever go to law school and didn't have a cup of coffee and you take that torts class, probably on the first day of your torts class, your law professor will say something like this: all liability is based on fault. And if he's a really good torts professor, he might direct your attention to an ancient, really ancient, Mary Oldie Engeland Court of King's Bench case from like 1356 or something, where a couple of the king's men, his soldiers, were a practicing of their sword fighting. And one didn't mean to. He didn't mean to, but he did manage to slash the living bejesus out of the other king's man with whom he was a practicing of his sword fighting, in case it was necessary to invade France again someday. And they were called before the Court of King's Bench. And the fellow that did the slashing said, Your noble, majestic graciousness, I didn't mean to do that in the least little bit. No, not at all. I mean, I was a sword fighting, you know, in your name, in front, you know, so we could be practiced up swordsmen in case we have to go and slaughter the French some more. And Keith over here, he was practicing just as hard, but I slipped and I slashed his arm right open. Oh, did. And the king looks at his advisors and he says, Your Grace, I mean, it's all well and good, but you got a slashed up soldier here that we've had to pay to patch up. So as not to be a complete jackass of a monarch, he doesn't go, oof, with his head! Instead, the legal concept is developed out of that case that we understand it was an accident, and we know you're sorry, and we know if you could turn back time, never mind, you would go back and unslash Keefe's arm there. But none of that is possible, and you can't make him whole, and the only thing that we can do in an attempt to be a civilized, less barbaric than we would prefer, than we actually are, society, is to order the payment of money damages to Keith by you. Because, and again, this becomes an important principle of the English common law, which we then inherit in our Judeo-Christian nation on Judeo-Christian principles. All liability is based upon fault. And so, Mr. Hoback, I understand it was an accident. And I understand you'd go back. But those three people have a right to go after Mr. Hoback, even though it was an accident. But he's probably a pretty dim bulb and would even walk into court and go, well, you can't. That's constitutional right. I got a gun. Freedom, Wolverines. Good guy with gun. Legal analyst at WFTV, Bill Schaefer, said, this shooting doesn't appear to be intentional, and the conduct doesn't appear to be so reckless that it would support the charge of criminal negligence. Unless, of course, carrying around a firearm as a barely trained civilian constitutes reckless conduct, and Me, I submit that it does. So this is Cracker Barrel. We've had shootings at like at Starbucks, Walmart. They had a bomb thrown at Walmart. Not an IED, remember. Guy was white. It was a homemade bomb. Deputies would not say if Hoback had a permit to carry the gun. But presumably he must have, or they would have charged him maybe with... No, that's probably unconstitutional too. So here at 31 minutes past the hour, a question. And this occurred to me last night, but I think, we've hopefully got time to flesh this out tonight. Or perhaps flesh wound this out tonight. Oh, that was bad. Given the incidents of firearms-related deaths and maimings in this country, some intentional, some un, do you reckon if an American was to apply for asylum in some other sane country, I mean, pick one, Australia, Japan, Sweden, Germany, France, merry oldie England, if one were to apply for asylum there because of the fact that this nation has become an absolutely wild-eyed shooting gallery where any person on any day, in any place, in any state, in any county, in any community, in this entire country, you can die just randomly, either intentionally or accidentally, because we care more about guns than we do about people. Do you suppose one of those governments would afford a person asylum or refugee status? Because it sure strikes me that we might need it. I mean... I know where the Australian embassy is in D.C. If a fellow just walked in and said, listen, people are getting shot all over the place, and we're not going to do anything about our gun problem here in the United States, and y'all apparently have, could I please have refuge and asylum in Australia, please, so I won't get shot by one of my freedom-protecting, God-loving, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian countrymen? Please. I'm not talking about the criminals. I'm talking about the lawful gun owners, fellas. I mean, because they go from lawful to awful just like that. And they don't mean to most of the time. They'll tell you it was an accident when you're shot there over your country ham and eggs and hash brown casserole at the Blue Steel smoking Cracker Barrel. What do you think? Because I'm tempted. Canada? You think Canada would accept me? Because, see, my problem here is that being 52 years of age, I'm too old for any countries to be interested in me as far as just straight-up immigration. But these stories are proliferating so prolifically... that it's become dangerous just to go down to the Rippy Mart or up to the Rippy Mart for your gas station pizza of an evening, because some freedom protector can come in there with a dirty hairy 44 Magnum 8-inch barrel hog leg on his hip and reach back there to fumble for his fuel land fuel points card and bump and bang. And that's anybody anywhere. Jack in Shreveport says, subject line, gun guy, I don't have any expertise in guns as such, but did Freedom Protector accidentally have his safety off and accidentally have a round in the chamber? Well, I was thinking about that, because in order to go off, there's got to be something, there's got to be a round somewhere in the general neighborhood of the firing pin. That can happen in the case of a wheel gun, because, well, it's a wheel gun, but there's still a safety involved. But it's particularly known to happen in semi-automatics, where you've got a round in the chamber, and the safety may be, because the purpose of a safety is to keep the hammer from striking the firing pin. Right? And so, yeah, there had to be a round in the chamber, so how that's not negligence, I don't know. How that's not reckless, I don't know. Well, yes, I do. Because it's not just freedom to carry the gun, it's freedom to carry the gun in such a way as to be able to fire it on a moment's notice. Because, you know, if there's a bad guy with a gun who comes up, you don't want to have to be reaching for your Freedom Protector and taking off the safety and jacking a round into the chamber before you can start protecting freedom. You got to just be able to pull it out and stand and blaze away. You know, maybe hold it sideways, you know, Pulp Fiction style, badass, right? That way, when you get the recoil, just right in the face. Yeah, I'm almost tempted as an experiment to seek asylum in a country that isn't gun mad. But, you know, they don't always have to have a gun. Sometimes these God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians will just beat you with their God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered fists. That's what happened in a very gay-friendly town in California. According to CBS2, George Zander is a 71-year-old activist, and he and his husband were attacked for being members of the Desert Stonewall Democrats. They were leaving a nightclub, holding hands, when a person described merely as a, come on, of course, white male, started yelling nastiness at him for being gay. You know the words. And George Zander's husband, Chris, said, I don't want to fight. So the guy who had been yelling the anti-gay slurs, because freedom, went and got a couple of buddies, and then they snuck up on Mr. and Mr. Zander and ambushed them, attacking them from behind. They hit Chris Zander in the head with a bottle. You know, when bottles are outlawed, only outlaws will have bottles. And they shoved George, who, being 71, fell to the ground, where he fractured his hip and has undergone surgery to repair the broken hip. Ruth Deborah, who is the chair of Desert Stonewall Democrats, said, we feel so safe here, and it's a wake-up call that we're not as safe as we think. This was very specifically a hate crime, which, of course, Republicans and conservatives still deny exists. Well, there's no such thing as a hate crime. That's punishing people for their thoughts. That's thought crime. That ain't murka.
the greatest country in the world on earth now today forever, indivisible under God.
I guess most people think that Palm Springs is gay friendly, but not entirely. Mike Thompson, CEO of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, said, "Even in the most accepting of places, hate crimes are committed against LGBT people. It's especially sobering when it happens here in Palm Springs on Arenas Road, both places where LGBT people are beyond accepted. We are celebrated." Right? I hope he gets well quick. I really do. And then, of course, how's about Kansas? Hi, Diane. Yeah, there is a teacher out of work in Kansas today. Mm-hmm. He's out of work for showing an anti-bullying video to the children in his class. Oh, yeah. Unemployed. Tom Leahy has taught at Conway Springs Middle School since 1997. He's on leave. He's not expected to return, the Wichita Eagle reports, because a bunch of upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian parents had a plum hissy over a video, which has been seen by millions of people online, a video called Love is All You Need. And what it does is it presents a mirror image of our culture. It presents a world in which gay kids are the predominant group, and straight kids are the minority, and it presents the gay kids bullying the straight kid, a sort of how would you like it if the shoe was on the other foot sort of situation. Okay. And it's harsh. It is admittedly harsh, because the straight kid is bullied so much that she eventually commits suicide. In the movie, which, and you really can't emphasize this enough to good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian parents in Kansas or much of anywhere else, isn't real. Doesn't happen. But see, little gay kids really are bullied into suicide in this country. But the parents of the straight kids didn't like their children having to consider the ramifications of bullying, which I'm sure some of them do, gay kids. So they furiously demanded the head of teacher Leahy, and they got and so they've got a they've got his pelt on their wall. Talking about the fact that the child commits suicide, and the bullied child commits suicide in the not real film. Teacher Leahy said, "That's a little rough. I get it." But, shoot, these kids play video games that are decapitating people. Which is absolutely true.
And he said he wanted to get a lesson about bullying across to his students. And he said, I didn't want just a dorky little film. I wanted something that was important, something that was serious. So that's the one I came up with. I'm not saying what I did was very smart. It really wasn't. But I'm a spur-of-the-moment kind of guy, and it seemed right at the time. I think he's probably being too hard on himself. Because who's at fault here is the parents who, well you got to understand, our children need to be able to bully the gay children because that's what our God instructs us to do. Ron in the Unfrozen North asked the question regarding my refugee hypothetical earlier. The real question is that if you asked the question and they answered yes, would you take them up on the offer? I think so. Because, in the days following September the 11th, 2001, I have never, not once, been afraid of being attacked by a Muslim because I understand the nature of the conflict. But I am bowel-bound terrified of my own fellow citizens. And I'm scared of the ones who've got the guns on their hips or they're carrying a rifle slung over there. And I'm scared of the ones who, and then there are the ones who are concealed. And I'm scared of them going from lawful to awful because they had a bad day or they're mad at who their daddy goes to church or where they're mad about who where their mama goes to church or whatever. Or, they just trip over their own feet and fall down and murder somebody 15 feet away who's just trying to go through the checkout aisle with a box of bonbons. Because they were sitting at home thinking, bonbons. I'm going to go down to the Wally World and get me some. Does Wally World sell bonbons? I don't know. Okay, macaroons. And that's just far too bizarre a case of for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. And for want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For me. I am. And to the extent that we've created a community here where we can talk about our real feelings and what really concerns us, I am scared. I'm scared every day because I live in a state where it's almost deemed unpatriotic not to have guns. I don't know how you feel, but I'm scared. I'm not just scared for me. I'm scared for my wife. I'm scared for my children. I'm scared for my grandchildren. My grandchildren go to a school where people drive by on a Saturday or Sunday evening and just put a couple of rounds through the window. Now, am I unreasonable for that? I don't. You tell me. You tell me if you feel the same level of fear. And I don't know how to deal with it. Acknowledge that in Gunmerica, going up to get a gas station pizza is a death-defying act.
And of course, again, if you survive the shooting, you will then pay for the damages of having been shot on your own. I mean, take and not or a beating, you know, because America, it's capitalism. The 71-year-old man who was having hip surgery because a couple because some homophobes tried to beat him to death. Well, he's on the hook. He's on the hook for his medical treatment. Because he can, if they find the attackers, he can sue them till hell freezes over. But you know they don't have any assets. And Mr. Hobach with his Freedom Protector down there in Sanford, Florida, he didn't have insurance on that firearm. And here's the fun part. Let's say that the people who got injured sue, and you know the manager of Cracker, Smoke, and Barrel is not going to sue his employer. He'll get workers' comp if the corporation doesn't decide to fight him over it. But the innocent bystander who was just sitting there over breakfast when and the shrapnel ripped his leg open and he had to go to the hospital? Theoretically, I suppose he can sue Cracker, Smoke, and Barrel. Which Cracker Barrel will then fight for all they're worth, and they will offer up a defense that it is legal. They cannot ban anyone from carrying a gun onto their premises in Florida because Florida wants everybody to protect freedom. And that is de facto legal to carry a gun into Cracker Barrels. Well, I mean, then we could be sued for violating their Christian upstanding Second Amendment rights. You see what a conundrum this becomes? No, it's not insoluble. This is a problem that can be fixed. But here's the problem. With the problem, we have to want to fix it. Or perhaps the problem with the problem is that we have to acknowledge before we even try to fix it, we have to acknowledge that it is a problem. And there's millions of Americans who just think that that's the price of freedom. You know, every now and then somebody's just got to get murdered trying to have breakfast because, you know, one of these days, you know, the government's going to put their jackboots down on our poor, innocent, freedom-loving necks. Because of that one, that Kenyan Muslim usurper. What a country. What a straight up terrifying country. Mm-hmm. So here endeth the filibobster. You want to participate? You're welcome to. I'm going to try to make it another hour. I'm not feeling great, but I'm going to try to make it another hour. Sorry for all the pregnant pauses here. There's a lot of throat clearing going on that you don't want to hear. Trust me. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for jumping in on the subscription model. And yeah, I reckon if you sign up for a $20 contribution, I'll send you both bumper stickers. See how it works? Yep. Let's take a break. The phone numbers. Line 1 is 304-574-8178, and then the stress line is 304-663 Horn, 304-663-4676. And we are trying to raise $200 this evening, and we have knocked off $50 of it so far. So thank you very kindly. Actually, $90 of it. Thank you even more kindly. So we got about $110 to go. So, yeah, break, and being Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report from Brad and Desi, and then we'll get right back to it. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015.
Unusually powerful tropical cyclone heading towards Yemen, of all places.
The first ever hurricane for the nation of Yemen.
Yes, they should.
Hillary supports an investigation of Exxon. Record warm oceans blamed for the collapse of Maine's cod fishery. Plus, TransCanada calls time out on its controversial Keystone XL pipeline.
For now,
All of those timeouts and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
A new study says that by the end of this century, the Persian Gulf might be too hot to support human life. So finally, peace in the Middle East.
Oh, thank Allah. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, big story, I think, as we go to air today. TransCanada says, never mind about that whole Keystone XL pipeline.
Yep. TransCanada, the owner of the controversial proposed Keystone XL pipeline, has requested the U.S. State Department to suspend its application for a cross-border permit. TransCanada says the pipeline route is undergoing a new state review in Nebraska. But environmental groups suggest the move is actually an attempt to prevent President Obama from rejecting it. No application, no rejection.
Of course, if Hillary Clinton wins in 2016, she has already said she would reject it. So they're gambling, they're hoping, they're praying that a Republican wins in 2016, I guess.
That's apparently it. TransCanada did leave open the option of trying again after the 2016 election. And yes, all of the 2016 Republican candidates support the pipeline.
I'm glad they note they are trying to work out something with Nebraska concerning the route, because it gives me the opportunity to mention that the whole reason this thing has been delayed so long in the first place is because Nebraska Republicans rejected the original route for that Keystone XL pipeline.
Another question is whether ongoing eminent domain lawsuits from landowners in Nebraska whose property has been seized for the pipeline will be allowed to go through. Speaking of elections, Election Day 2016 is now 1 year away. The Democratic presidential primary is also now down to three candidates. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig, who focused on campaign finance reform as the linchpin to solving major challenges like climate change, dropped out of the race on Monday. Unlike in the Republican Party, all of the Democratic candidates accept climate science and only differ on how to address it. Meanwhile, Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton now says she supports the idea of a Justice Department investigation into oil giant Exxon after new revelations that Exxon deliberately misled the public and funded groups to deny the global scientific consensus on dangerous climate change. Clinton's remarks come 2 weeks after fellow Democratic candidate Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley already announced their support.
And they also come only after she was asked about it. She did not go out of her way to make that statement that she'd like to see Exxon investigated. It was sort of done in a hallway off stage during a campaign event.
In other news, the year 2015 has already smashed the record for the highest number of Category 4 and 5 storms ever recorded. And now, in the Middle East, the nation of Yemen on the Arabian Peninsula is seeing its first ever hurricane on record. According to CNN meteorologist Tom Sater, Cyclone Shapala could dump as much as 8 years of rain in 2 days on the arid nation.
This is going to drop several years worth of rainfall, which is going to cause massive debris flows and flash flooding. This is a big, big deal here. You just don't see this kind of rain in this area. Something unprecedented we haven't seen in this part of the world.
Oh, it's just a coincidence. Nothing to worry about. Climate changing? What are you talking about?
And just want to note for the record, like Hurricane Patricia in the Pacific a few weeks ago, Cyclone Shapala also intensified with similar record speed. Yemen is a nation already suffering a major humanitarian crisis stemming from years of violent conflict, and Cyclone Shapala will not help. In the U.S., the same record warm ocean temperatures are blamed for the collapse of Maine's commercial cod fishing industry. Despite new stringent catch limits, scientists say the rapid warming of ocean waters off the coast of New England has contributed to the collapse of the fishery. Fishery managers say they did not expect the ocean to warm so quickly or disrupt cod numbers so fast, and thus their catch limit quotas allowed too much cod to be taken this year. Finally, good news and bad news in Antarctica. Antarctica is experiencing a net gain of ice for now. According to NASA, snow is accumulating on the middle of the continent at a faster rate than the ice is melting away around its edges. The scientists say the good news is that means Antarctica isn't adding to rising sea levels. But the bad news is that means the current rise in sea levels isn't from Antarctica, which means it's coming from somewhere they haven't accounted for yet.
Outer space?
Probably not.
Damn. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
You never take advice. I always enjoy the Green News Report. Well, hey, let's run over to the stress line and see what's happening. Welcome back to the hour two of the program. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's happening?
This is Jim.
I gathered as much.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. Let me turn off the radio. Or turn it down. Hold on. Still there?
I am indeed.
Okay. Well, man, when I turned on, I turned on the radio and you started off with that. I thought what you were leading into when as I heard the beginning of the show, I thought that gun thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
That accidental shooting. I thought that was like maybe the guy who you were talking about yesterday had. That was him, and that's where he started out. I wasn't really paying that much attention.
No. Different states, same gun culture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, and it's kind of ironic that it was at, first thing that hit me was another, it's so prolific. You would think even quote unquote pro gun states, even pro gun owners are some gun owners are starting to come around. I've heard like they want to start a less radical carry your gun everywhere kind of thing, NRA, their version of the NRA. With much more common sense instead of like the NRA's main function seems to be just sell more guns and ammunition, anything related to, in this capitalist society, just making more money,
And that's what it comes down to, because freedom. Money equals freedom equals money equals freedom equals guns.
Yeah.
And they say, I can't do math.
Well, you're getting pretty good at it. I think Carol's keeping you on the. You're getting real good at it. You'll be like me. You can just. Like, what's 7 times 7?
6 and 7 eighths?
No, 49.
Damn! Well, that's close.
I can do that kind of stuff really, real good. I'm almost like a human calculator with, relatively limited capacity. But the thing was, it's just like. It's like another. I was thinking, it's another gun nut, and I was thinking, what better place than Cracker Barrel? Because that seems like a gun culture place for that to happen. It's almost like karma or something.
Well, Florida's a gun culture place for that to happen.
What's that?
Florida's a gun culture place for that to happen. Because Florida. My God, you could be walking through your neighborhood one day and. And there's a kid confronting you with a bag of tea and Skittles, and you have to kill him quick.
Yeah.
I know it sounds sarcastic, but damn.
Dude, that's the only way I can look at it. I'm like, I'm getting so sarcastic, sardonic, and there's probably a couple other multi-syllable words I could throw out there. I'm almost like good. I hate thinking that way because I don't know any of those people, and I don't. It's like, when will this country or the majority of this country wake up and smell the gunpowder after, you know, after guns gone off.
Jim, I don't know if there's an answer to that question. I mean, that may be one of those Zen quans, you know. What is the sound of one hand clapping? What is the sound of one gun firing?
Is that how you pronounce?
I thought.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I thought
it was Zen Kong.
It's either a quan or a koan, and koan becomes quan if you say it fast. The thing is, like, well, we can't even talk about fixing the problem because probably a majority of Americans think it's not one. I mean, even the reasonable gun people, all right? They say, well, you're, and I guess I'm sometimes one of them because I really can. I live in hillbilly hell, okay? And I understand why you might need, you know, let's say you've got a few acres and you run a few cattle and you know, a cow stepping in a groundhog hole can break an ankle and there, you know, there goes some money. And you wind up having to eat beef that you weren't planning on eating anytime soon. So maybe you need a 222 with a nice scope on it to plink away at the whistle pigs. Okay. Or, you know, get all Atticus Finch and take out a rabid dog. Okay. I acknowledge it, a home defense, and you've got a little 410 shotgun you got to keep for that purpose because you don't want to use a pistol for that kind of thing. And you know, you go, well, okay. Now, but even when you do that, you have to acknowledge, Jim, that having firearms in the home increases the likelihood of a firearm, of some sort of grievous injury, exponentially. Gun owners more frequently have their guns used on them than they do on other people. That's a reality, too. So how do we get to the point where we, I mean, if I could, okay, I'd go back to the Constitutional Convention in 1787 and say, guys, look, this is what it's going to turn into. And go, oh, hell, we can't put that in the Constitution then.
The
Supreme Court that we're creating in Article 3 is going to hold that even though we said that the purpose of all of this is to have a militia, they're going to say that just means everybody gets a gun? Yep. Oh, nuts. So, yeah, if I could, I'd go back in time and I'd make the Second Amendment go away. But, you know, Mr. Peabody hasn't built the Wayback Machine yet.
Yeah.
And so we have to deal with present realities. And so the only way I can come up with to even have a moderate solution to all of this is to require that firearms be individually insured.
Well, that's just a scheme to register our weapons when the federal government comes here to put their jackbooted jackboots down on our patriotic, freedom-loving, Christ-centered, God-fearing, Bible-believing necks.
Well, tough shit, because, you see, I mean, what about the victims? Can we please quit pretending that the people with the guns are the victims and acknowledge that the people who are shot by the guns are the victims? I mean, or is that just unpatriotic? Now,
it's obviously unpatriotic, at least as far as the NRA is concerned. The other thing, hats off to you. I like your little magic bullet in November.
It's the season.
There's two other months you can add. Early June 4th or 5th, you know, Robert Kennedy.
And April. April.
April 4th and 5th, Martin Luther King, I've shot a shotgun a few times. I remember once going to Laurel, Mississippi, where my grandmother used to live, and I was there with my dad, and I think my sister or two were there, and he carried a gun, you know, during the JFK thing, I think it was a 38, but I never had any desire to even mess with it. You know, maybe, you know, I just, But and he shot it in the woods, and even then he said he I remember him saying to somebody, or my grandmother said, you know, he didn't. I guess she probably got on his case, his mother, about shooting a gun, because we'd never seen a gun shoot before. You know, it's a city slicker like me. So, which brings up another thing relating to guns. I had an incident when, probably 3 decades ago, 2.5, 3 decades. And when you get that, which, you know, once you're right, you're not that far behind me.
I didn't grow up, you know, it was weird. My parents were West Virginians, but they weren't at all fascinated with guns. I did not grow up with guns in the home. But after I was 7 years old, we had a gun in the home. We had a 22 caliber Ruger semi-automatic pistol. And it was kept in a locked briefcase. And the And the only reason we had that pistol was because the Atlanta police insisted we take it with us, because they swore up and down it had belonged to my brother, and in fact the barrel of the gun was coated in his blood.
Well,
and my father said, my father and mother said, they absolutely, this is not going to go back out into the world and kill somebody else's son.
Yeah, well, the best thing, I mean, they didn't have that back then, but whether you can destroy guns, but yeah.
There are states in the Union, Jim, where if the police confiscate firearms, they are forbidden by law from destroying the gun.
Yeah, I know.
Because guns have feelings too.
Because the gun lobby is so goddamn strong. Yeah.
Yeah. The police have to sell the firearm. And you know, interesting. I've got a note here from Roger out in Oregon. And the subject line, he says, Jim, is, the gun thing was solved long ago for some. When Jeb goes to give a speech in Florida, no one is allowed to have their freedom protectors. When the court that says the Second Amendment says what it doesn't say convenes, no one is allowed to be present with their freedom protectors. When the most highly weaponry-trained groups in the country, our military, go onto their bases, they have to register and then check any of their personal freedom protectors. Apparently, only the sheeple are not entitled to reasonably weapons-free work, sleep, eat, and play places. And that's absolutely true.
Yeah,
and you know another gun-free zone? Another gun-free zone, the annual convention of the National Rifle Association.
I was going to bring that up, yeah. Funny how, you know, it's all right for, you know, anybody to go and acquire a gun any way they want. They'll probably come to your defense, you know. But then, I guess... I shot a shotgun a few times with my stepfather. I was with his sons, and we were, I don't know what we were hunting. It was, like I said, 4 decades ago. And, but anyway, other than that, the only time I got held up once in New Orleans, and it was right around dusk, and it was on the Elysian Fields, Street of the Gods, up by UNO, the University of New Orleans. And it's getting dark, you know, the sun's going down, and I'm walking one way, and there's another guy walking the other way. And it's, you know, I'm crossing this little bridge over a bayou, throwing in a Louisiana flavor for you. And I
love me some Louisiana flavor.
He just pulled up. He just pulled a gun on me, and I'm thinking, you know, it's so weird because it almost looked like a toy gun. It's like, give me your money. He got the gun. Okay, but even if I would have had a gun, he could have shot me. I mean, you know, there's no way I could have pulled it. You know, and I just said, do me a favor here. Take the wallet. I only had like $15 or whatever. Take the wallet. I've told you the story before. And just do me a favor, leave the ID. Just throw the wallet down. So that's what he did. So I guess it was a bit, I think I did tell you that. But that was on the street, Elysian Fields, you know, the Street of the Gods. You know, that's where the Greek gods lived.
Yeah.
And it's just, and the weird thing is, once your adrenaline starts pumping when somebody pulls a gun on you. You wouldn't believe it. No shots were fired. But even if I would have had a gun, unless I had mine pulled, you know, right when I saw him coming up, he's got the draw on me. You know. So the thing about being protected, unless you always walk around pointing your gun at everybody, and even then when you turn around, they could shoot you, or when you're not looking. It's just crazy, man. But do you think this is ever going to decline, or do you think it's going to get worse? You think there's any way they could wrap that in? No, there's no way they could do that, I guess. Well, yeah, they could.
I don't know. Back in 1964, when he signed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, Lyndon Johnson said, "We have lost the South for a generation," meaning the Democratic Party had. Because he said it would take, he surmised it would take at least a generation before enough of the old hardcore racists would die off and start caring about, working class people without regard to skin color.
Yeah, well, you forget about the brainwashing effect of society. It's passed on.
Exactly, and that's the point. We're three generations gone from that, and we still got the problem. You know, witness the racial tension in this country now. So when will we grow up enough to not want guns all over the place? I don't know if we ever will. And that's the problem. I got a note here from Kelly. Subject line, guns. She said, "I went into Walmart in Beckley on Saturday. To my horror, a man came in, head shaved, 4-inch silver cross hanging around his neck, with a German Shepherd puppy, maybe 3 months old. He made the dog sit, and the puppy started crying. He wouldn't let anybody pet the puppy and said, 'He's in training.'" Oh, did I forget to mention, Kelly asks, he had a gun strapped on his hip. I wanted to slap him, but of course, I probably would have been shot. There you go. And then Jim, who is the Jim that isn't you on the phone right now, points out, Jim over in Beckley, "The best way to prevent gun violence is not to have a gun in one's possession. People who have weapons must be required to secure them, and should tragedy or injury occur, then the person responsible for said possession must be held at fault with all liability." Jim continues, "I was always taught and trained that possession of a firearm is total and complete intent. Any commercial device, as virtual or real, is an encouragement for use is totally wrong. In other words, guns are not games, but real instruments of injury and or death. Precaution is the mother of responsibility, period."
I'm just going to throw this in. You must have done something to piss off that little baby Jesus a whole lot, because you got a gift for gab. Your way with words is very impressive. You could have been the next Effie Bailey. what's his name? Clarence Darrow. I'm going to give you somebody. Well, Effie Bailey had his moments, but I'm going to give you Clarence Darrow. Or who was the guy who defended the Chicago 7? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, but I'll stick with Clarence Darrow. That's pretty high praise.
And by
the way, Ray just wrote in and under the subject line, "We didn't mean them." Ray just says, "Bring back the Black Panthers open carrying firearms. That changed white people's minds real fast."
Well, it sure as hell changed that fool Ronald Reagan's.
Yeah, it changed Ronnie Reagan's mind in a straight up hurry when they were standing on the steps of the California State House.
Yeah.
Locked and loaded.
I guess there's just no way in hell that they're going to ever change their mind. But the thing is, it's almost getting not even weekly. It's every couple of days. I mean, that didn't even make the headlines, that little thing.
No.
That you were talking about. But whereas ordinarily that would, But I did think you were opening up with an excellent argument about the only way you'll ever get gun control of any type is going to be where they have to buy insurance for the gun. That's the only way I can see that they can do that.
And I can't help thinking that $1 million, because anything less than $1 million coverage is not going to be sufficient. So I got to figure that $1 million coverage on every firearm is going to get a little pricey.
I like that. I like it. Every firearm, not just one. And the insurance company, companies would love that.
No, I mean, if insurance companies want to grant a multi-gun discount like they do multi-car discounts, I guess that might. That's capitalism, right? But you got to have $1 million. You got to be able to cover $1 million worth of damage, because one life in the United States has got to be worth $1 million. And God knows the hospital bills can from a firearm injury can run up to that in a slap hurry.
I could win $1 million right now, clean, and I would, if I lived another 20 years, I probably could make it, but just looking at the way money goes and stuff, let's say 20 years into $1 million, what would that be? That would be 100,000, so that'd be 50,000, yeah. But then there's unknown variables such as inflation and, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, how's life in Vegas these days?
It's going good. Going good. Lifestyles. Cool. Well, it's not quite lifestyles of rich and famous, but.
Nah, you're not quite up to Robin Leach yet, are you?
Not quite. But it's just crazy, man.
I will never forget the one time back when Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous was big. I'll never forget that it was the most over-the-top, ridiculous Robin Leach thing I'd ever seen. A girlfriend and I were watching one day, and we were just bent double laughing. We went looking for the most expensive bowl of soup in the world. We found it in Japan. Snake urine soup.
See, I've never understood shows like, my mother liked it.
I'm not envious of no. And I don't get the programs on the various TV channels that show, some Russian oligarch with a yacht that has its own helicopter and submarine, and we're all supposed to wish we were him. Sorry, not me.
Yeah, what was the thing my mother used to love to watch? Beverly Hills Housewives, Atlanta Housewives. It's like, Mom, you did actually pretty good in the grand scheme of things as far as the sperm lottery goes. You won the right family, to marry somebody of, we weren't poor, but, as Bobby Dylan would say, a simple twist of fate. Things can turn out a lot different, just like that guy. Luckily, the bullet didn't hit him in the place too bad, but like you said, how much you said, did it say where he got shot? The guy got accidentally shot by the firearm?
That was
the leg?
Yeah. The one down in Sanford, Florida, yeah. A piece of shrapnel ripped his leg open.
Yeah, but then that can just, you can hit the leg in the wrong place, that can kill you, right? The vein, important artery or vein, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's my 2 cents worth. I thought I'd call in early, beat the rush.
Well, I'm glad you did, Jim.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, I like your idea about, put it like that $10 a month thing or something. That's about all I'm going to be able to do. But
don't do anything that puts a strain on you. But it's much appreciated. And honest to God, I would love to have if we could get 400 people at 10. I don't ever have to mention fundraising again.
Well, that puts a strain on me, Bob. So there's a reason to do it then.
Take care, Jim. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye now. And running over to the Skype line just in a minute here. Note coming in. Breaking news. Well, it is in California, says Tim from L.A. It is raining, and I saw my first lightning and heard the crash of thunder. It's actually raining. Amazing. I guess after 4 years of this goddamn drought, I finally figured out what rain is. Smiley face. I just saw a photograph a little bit ago on a friend's timeline of an end-to-end, the entirety of Los Angeles, viewed from afar, the entirety of Los Angeles under a rainbow. That's pretty nifty. It was beautiful. And Tim from L.A. continues, oh, and by the way, donate to the Horn, folks, at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you. Thank you for taking care of the fundraising the request there, Tim. I appreciate it because, yeah, we got about $110 to go this evening. Roger in Oregon says, the other side of the open carry makes it safer debate. I don't think this is giving away any secrets, but the truth is that if foul play is planned, the first people to get shot are the ones with guns. The result, you're then clear to proceed. Well, there's that, yes. Steve in New York says, gun insurance, I would say $1 million per bullet. It's the bullet that inflicts the harm. Oh, but then you have to, then you get into the ballistics. I think, you know, I'm a big proponent of the KISS theory. Keep it simple, right? Yeah. Irish Dave with a question, just a gall darn minute. When you have a beer with Dr. Uncle Ben, King of Mumbles, should you like, you know, open carry? Yeah, I bet you don't get to have your freedom there when you're talking to Mumbling Ben. I just bet. Hey, let's run over to line one and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is this line one?
That's line one. Is that Todd?
Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Todd?
Hey, listen, I wanted to give you a South Carolina update. I don't know if you remember, last year there was a state trooper who shot a motorist that he didn't really pull him over. The guy was already in convenience store parking lot.
Yeah, are you talking about Walter Scott there in North Charleston?
Actually, no, there's so many, but no, that was actually worse. The Walter Scott incident, not only did Walter Scott get shot while running away, but then the officer planted the weapon next to the body.
Right, okay, so this is a different one.
Yeah, this is Sean Gruber. This is why it's important. This is why I'm giving you an update, which I don't usually do. But, South Carolina, man, this is gunned up here. We're gunned up. This is ridiculous. And I said ridiculous. It's past ridiculous. Ridiculous. This is just out of control. But anyway, so...
Well, there's there's a lot of freedom to protect down in South Carolina.
Bob, there's more freedom than you've ever seen in your life. But, so this guy, right, he got fired because he fired at the motorist. He hit the guy in the head. Anybody can pull it off. Sean Gruber is the trooper, and I forget the victim's name. But anyway, the victim was going into his car to get his wallet. And people say, well, just follow the officer's instructions. Okay, so I'm going to get my license. Bam! You know, and my point about this is that people forget, right, handguns, even if you're the best marksman in the world, you miss more than you hit. Now where the state trooper shot this guy, I've been to this gas station plenty of times, okay? It's over there in Lexington. It's right on the border of Lexington and Richland County, which the reason I'm mentioning this, excuse me, is that Lexington County is the most Republican place on earth, and I'm not making that up. You can pull it up. It's totally, totally red. I mean, it bleeds red. It is the most Republican place on earth. Anyway, that they're all gunned up, period. They believe in that. So what my point is that even these trained people, this is a, you know, it's a big deal to be a South Carolina highway patrolman. You know, when you live here,
yeah,
you
that's the law. That's the law enforcement elite in South Carolina. Most state police are.
Yeah, right, exactly. So they're not supposed to be hiring any dregs, right? And I remember before I lived here, I remember visiting in the 80s when I was a kid. See, back then, oh, my God, in the 80s, right, I would come down here and I'd be like, ugh. And remember crack? That's when crack, like in the 80s, the crack was big, right, you know, where I'm from. And I'd come down here and visit, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, or whatever, like, oh, you guys are going to get robbed. Sorry, but... It's like, oh, you guys are going to get robbed, you know. They're like, no, we're not. I'm like, yeah, well, you keep all your tractors and lawn equipment out. You don't lock it up. I'm like, you wait till the crack hits down here. You people are going to get robbed, man. You're going to kick your back doors in. You have no idea. You have no idea. And then, you know, sure enough, it happened, but they're all gunned up. My point is that you go into a video store, you get a video, some Skittles, you know, your candy, and a handgun. And it used to freak me out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they sell adult videos. That's what my friends would say. Oh, they sell adult videos here, so they're allowed to sell handguns. But I'm like, we're in a video store. Why are they selling handguns? And then I look at it, and I'm like, you know.
You're not joking, are you?
No, I'm very serious, and I'm sober. I'm serious. And so I'm trying to give a little history because I've been listening to your conversation. And I had to cut you off last night because it was so depressing. But, I mean, what are we going to do? But don't fast forward me, and I don't want to take up a lot of time because other people are really interested in this. It's got to be. But I had to take a couple notes, Bob, on this. And now that I live here, you don't understand. I grew up in the city, man. I never saw any guns, Harden, at all, period. When I grew up in the 80s, man, in the city, it was like a big, somebody had a gun. It was like, whoa, a gun, wow, whoa. You know, it was like somebody had, you know, like Elephant Man disease. Like, oh, shit, you know, something different. Then I come down here to visit. I'm like, damn, these people, what the fuck? You mean to tell? I mean, seriously, I would freak out. I'm like, you mean everybody's got guns around here? Boom. And then I got to understand it because it's like it's rural. And then you call, and then they might not even like you if you don't understand how colloquial it is around here. If the popo will not, if you don't get along with them, they won't even fucking show up. They will not come. They will not come. It's really sad. But
one, I have not heard the phrase popo used in a while. That was nicely done. And two, no, I get that. Well, the problem here in a place as rural as West Virginia, if you need the police, if somebody's doing something awful to you, it's not that they won't come. It's that they won't get there for quite some time.
Wow.
I mean, let's see. It was, December 31st of 2011, when one of the local pillheads rear-ended my wife and totaled the rusty red pickup truck.
What?
Yeah. And, of course, police were called, and it took 30 minutes for a cruiser to arrive on the scene of the accident.
Oh, okay. Was that the first responder?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What?
The ambulance got there about 15 minutes later.
Oh shit, Bob.
So I mean, so you can understand the urge, and you know whether it's logical or smart or not is a different story. You can understand the urge of people to have a firearm in the home, because it's simply understood that in a state like this, you're pretty much on your own.
Right.
Now, in a city like a Charleston or a Morgantown or a Huntington, Parkersburg, Martinsburg, Beckley, response time might be a little bit better. But out in the county, forget it.
Well, see, there's so much I want to say.
Well, say it. It's okay.
I did not understand. See, that's what I don't know how to do the volume on this thing. I don't know how my voice sounds on this, but it's all weird.
You're fine. Anyway, you're fine.
I was on speaker before. Is this better? This is regular phone.
Yeah, you're golden.
All right, whatever. So listen, So back to the state trooper thing, just very quickly. And the reason I brought it up is because it was in the paper, and I was disgusted. You know, it was in the paper for one day. I went to the paper today to check on it from yesterday. They pulled that story. Another story's been inserted about a child acting up against an officer in school. And I just saw the byline. I didn't touch it because I'm focused on something else right now. So I was like, wow, they pulled that story about the state trooper. The reason I'm bringing it up really quick again. So the settlement, and I had to read it again before I say this, because I wanted to be accurate. And I read it again, you know, according to this paper, state paper, the state paper, blah, blah, blah. So South Carolina. This was called the State Paper. $300,000 settlement. Now, that man got shot in the hip, okay? $300,000 now, nowadays. That's really not that much money. If he, you know what I mean? Think about it. Now, I don't know if that includes medical bills or not. I mean, but you never know here. These people are weird. This is tricky territory. There's a whole lot of people running around with little or no education. And they have real jobs. And they're really not that. I mean, I'm average. You talk about moron. Man, you know what? You could come down here for a weekend, right? And go home. You would have a suitcase full of material. And you wouldn't have to leave the house.
Well, that kind of happened when I went to the race. You know, went down to Darlington.
Oh shit! Wait a minute. You mean here?
I mean there.
Oh, that's why I don't go. Man, I got a buddy. He loves. Oh my god. He's like, come on. He's like, no. I'm like, no, man. I'm not going. Mm-mm. South Carolina's funny, man. It's before you get me. No, see, you try to get me on these tangents. I'm not going to fall into it. We're talking about serious things. but one more thing, because this is all related. I'm trying to connect these dots and make it coherent in a cogent argument. Because it's really complicated. Because this could actually tear the country apart. Because city and rural needs are very different. But my point, besides the $300 settlement, you know, that ain't there. I don't even know what that is. That's after taxes? What the fuck? That ain't shit. Are you kidding? That is just, I don't even know what to say about that. But, all right, so, you know, the handguns, even in the hands of trained professionals, they're not accurate. I don't care if you're a bionic man. It's just not accurate. Because every time you fire a semi-automatic weapon, it loosens up a little bit. You know, and that's just one thing. But my point is that now you got these folks, and they are absolutely serious when they say this. You have a whole lot of people that are saying that, well, yeah, teachers need to be armed. Now, these people are serious. Okay? And I don't think any of these people who said this, I don't think any of them have ever been in a school, they've never been a teacher. I don't think they've ever even been a janitor in the school. Because I don't know how these people think, Bob, because what happens is that if everybody's armed and you're in a movie theater or school, well, oh shit, look, he's got a gun. I'm going to be a hero. So next thing you know, you got a clusterfuck, everybody's shooting at each other and you've got a big smoke cloud. You know, I don't know what these people are thinking. They are just,
well, I mean, look, consider what we started with, the fact that a woman actually called to try to alert police to a dangerous man walking the streets of her neighborhood with a semi-automatic military-style assault rifle in Colorado Springs on Saturday morning, and the dispatcher said, we're not going to send any police. That's his right.
Well, but I bet you he was white.
Oh, yeah, he was white. Yeah. If that's a person of color or someone that some ignorant dumbass presumes to be Muslim, cops will be there.
Let's
understand something. When Wayne LaPierre says that we're dangerous nation, and the only thing that will stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, that's all dog whistle, okay? I mean, in a state like South Carolina, let's understand something. The people who are carrying guns there aren't carrying guns to stop because they're afraid of other white people.
No, exactly. See, you get it. Oh yeah,
this is the ancient race fear writ large throughout this country.
This is the nouveau lynching. I'm telling you, when I went for my concealed carry permit, I don't know, I told you the story before, but you see, the particular class I went to was taught by a constable, right? Which is a state licensed basically they serve warrants. You know, he was like retired. You know, he's basically getting three checks from law enforcement probably. He's of that age, you know, and that's fine. I'm not hating on him. But, because he told me the truth. He pulled me to the side. He was like, look, he said, this is going to cause you trouble. You have, even when you had a permit, they're not going to care. You're a black man with a gun. And I was like, I'm just doing this because if I want to have a gun on me, I don't want to be illegal with a gun because that's an automatic 5 years. And that's exactly the truth because I have, my gun has not been out of this house in at least 2 years. You know, it's not, yeah. You know, that's a big response. And whenever my little, you know, little kids or whatever, my relatives come over, it's out of here. I don't even want to play with that. That's not. But, so the reason I brought that up is that during the class, you know, they tell you what you can do with, you know, the stand your ground nonsense, which stand your ground thing, you know, if you think about it, this is, you don't even have to be a very sophisticated person to understand what this means. Think about, everybody knows back in medieval times, you know, you think about King Arthur and the broadswords and people swinging at each other. Oh, there's your arm. Lop it off, right?
It's only a flesh wound. It's just a scratch. Right?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, it's just a scratch. It's a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Come back, I'll bite your head off.
Yep, just a flesh wound. That's all it is. Keep shooting. That's it. I mean, that's what they expect you to do. Stay. You know, this is some crazy stuff. You know, this is absolutely insane. But so anyway, during the class, when you were talking earlier about, you know, because everybody wants a semi-automatic now. If you got a handgun, they don't want the wheel gun or the revolver, which is much safer in your pocket, much safer.
They want the semi-automatic and for some reason or another they want the Glock, and I remember
the movie.
Well, I remember when the New York City, when the NYPD, and this was back in the 90s, I read it somewhere, when the NYPD moved over to Glocks, the number of incidents, mm-hmm, in which officers accidentally shot themselves skyrocketed.
Well, that's what I was about to bring up.
Because a cop has to carry chambered. Mm-hmm. And that Glock doesn't have a safety that you can just thumb off or anything. It's entirely dependent on that little twin trigger system. And they go to put it in their holster, and it gets hung up on something, and you bang! Damn it!
See, that's where I was going with this. Just like there's another person who does, they do radio and they write whatever, and they've been doing this thing called gun trail. But invariably, it's amazing because people have been keeping records. Well, he's been keeping records on this now called gun trail, right? So these instructors, these are, in other words, if you're doing statistics, these are the folks who are at the top tail end, at top 3%, right? So these are the people who are not supposed to make mistakes, and they're shooting people left and right and making these accidents in school. Can you imagine? I remember the cops coming to school when I was little. I do. And it was like, oh, the policeman, the fireman, you know, that was cool. Like third grade, you're like, wow. You know, and they had their, you know, they're probably, you know, you didn't know it then, but yeah, they're just like, ah. And you cruise by the school, they're going to give me some food, and I can, you know, talk to the kids, and I still have my gear on. These people are shooting, they don't even understand how to handle these guns. When you grab the handle of the gun, you do not put your finger in the trigger ring. When you're doing anything, why would you put your, that's how that happens. Because they grasp it and they put their finger on the trigger, in the trigger ring, dummy. But see, it's just ridiculous. This is, we're, I don't know what we can do about this. I don't, and then what happened with Clive and Bundy, Bob?
Nothing. I mean, he's still out there waiting. Still out there waiting for someone to come along that he can explain to them about the Negro.
Well,
I mean, oddly enough, the jackbooted thugs didn't put their jackboots down on his freedom loving neck or anything, even though he's been mooching off We the People for God knows how long. I mean, he had people pointing guns at federal officers, and yet nobody went to jail.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't get. Why is it you have a certain segment of the population that they get shot with no weapons, right? And, you know, but that, you know, that's why I got this thesis about this is the new lynching, because what happens is that in the South, when you go to get your permit, right, they don't really want you. They just want the white folks to be there to have the guns, because, you know, well, this is where I'll be honest with you. This is where we are right now. We are in Reconstruction. We're in this, just like someone has said before, and I swear it's true. We are in the new Civil War, the Cold Civil War. And I tell you, I had my foot in both places. You know, I grew up, you know, home, and I'm here now as an adult with the tools to kind of analyze what's going on. This is some crazy shit. These people are still angry about the fucking Civil War, man. And it's like, well, you know, you were a traitor, right? What? My grandfather, I don't give a fuck what your grandfather did. That shit was wrong. You defended. I'm sorry, he was wrong.
Yeah, so get this, because you'll love this, Todd. Out in Utah, they passed a hate crimes law. Okay, and that's meant to protect people who are attacked, and the person screaming, you know, blah blah, you know, epithet, you, you know, fill in the vulgar insult. You person of color, you homosexual, you. Well, right. The Salt Lake City Police have declared that they may seek to use the hate crime law on some black suspects who apparently the word here is assaulted a white man in an argument over the devil's diaper, you know, the Confederate flag.
Wait, the devil's what?
The devil's diaper. That's what we call it here.
What is it?
The Confederate flag.
Oh, I never heard that.
No, that's ours. Yeah.
The devil's diaper?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Man, that's, you know, I have to think about that. There's so many ways that can go. That's just some strange stuff. But I'm sorry, go ahead. I have to think about that. Okay.
So they may prosecute the black people for hate crimes for objecting to this guy flying a flag of treason on his truck. And the alleged victim is Kelly Leeper, and he had come into Salt Lake City for a Garth Brooks concert, and he noticed some black men near his friend's pick-em-up truck, and he said that pick-em-up truck had $50,000 worth of welding equipment, because, you know, you always want to bring your welding equipment with you to your Garth Brooks concert. And they were giving him some grief over the Confederate flag decal on the side of his truck. And that's when Kelly Leeper's friend gets punched in the face. And now Leeper says, "I'll be damned if I ever come to Salt Lake again without bringing my gun. The point is, it's my right to drive what any kind of vehicle I want. If I want to fly the Confederate flag, it's my right."
Right. Well.
So now, Sergeant Robin Hayden of the Salt Lake City Police Department has announced that it could possibly be a hate crime.
To fly the flag?
No, it's a hate crime to criticize someone for flying the the Confederate flag.
I call bullshit on both. You can fly. You know what? You fly the flag, and then everybody knows you're a dickhead.
That's the way it is with me. I mean, as we drove into Darlington, I mentioned the race earlier. As we drove into Darlington, it was like driving through Confederate Memorial Day. There were Confederate flags flying all along the road that runs outside the back stretch of the racetrack. And then using a zoom lens, I checked out the infield, and even though NASCAR had said no more Confederate flags, I counted, I think, 5 Confederate flags flying in the infield of the track.
Well, And I'm going to tell you, and see, it's very complicated. I know people, I have good friends, I have friends that I could call up that I've known since I was 19, you know, white dudes. I say, man, I need you to pick me up right now. I need a ride. And they have that shit in their house, like their grandmothers and daughters and confederates, you know, it's kind of nothing. But we're friends. And we respect each other. And I understand that, but it's you know, and I mean, what can you say to someone? Well, your ancestor was, you know they're fucked up. It doesn't mean you're fucked up. Like your grandfather was a mass murderer. That doesn't mean you're a mass murderer.
Todd, my grandfather was in the Klan. Okay.
That doesn't mean you're the Klan, does it?
Exactly. It just means I got some stuff to work off, you know, for him.
Oh, you're serious now, too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I've got a picture of a big old Klan rally in Oak Hill, West Virginia, in 1922. Big flaming crosses, Klansmen on horseback. And dear old granddad's down in there somewhere.
Wow. That was like the heyday, like.
Well, that was the resurgence of the Klan. That was like Klan 2.0.
Mm-hmm, that's what they say. Because that's when the Rosewood incident, all these like the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, you know, a lot of black towns,
And the heyday, right? And the heyday of the sunrise sunset towns,
right?
You know, don't let the sun set on you here.
Incidentally, have you heard about what's happening near Ferguson in terms of the environment?
No, what?
Well, apparently, in the 70s, the federal government had the bright idea of dumping nuclear waste. Like heavy nuclear.
Oh yeah, North St. Louis. There people are getting cancer like the cold. And there's
because there's an underground fire.
Yes,
there's an underground fire, right? So it's just it's not far away from the nuclear dump. It's already underground burning up. So which means it's probably already burning. It's a little crazy, but. You'll hear more about it. I heard about it a couple weeks ago, but it was on public radio today, which means that more people are going to start covering it because that's really it's atrocious because it's near an elementary school. Like it's very near. You know, it's like in other words, well, it's a landfill, but it's not like Centralia in Pennsylvania where everything's been burning for 20 years.
Well, Centralia is an underground coal mine fire.
Oh, that's your purview.
What's going on in North St. Louis is there's a fire, but it is growing. It is getting dangerously close to an underground radioactive waste disposal area.
That sounds interesting.
Well, I mean, Fukushima starts with an F, and so does Ferguson. What a coincidence!
Well, speaking of black on black crime. No, seriously, I need to say this because every time I hear somebody say, "Well, you need to be worried about your people shooting each other in the goddamn neighborhood," all right. Every time I hear a motherfucker say that shit, this is what I want to say: if a cop doesn't shoot you, you're lucky. But a cop is an agent of the state, federal, local, municipal, whatever. They are paid. They are paid people. They are not some jackass on the street that shoots you and is not held accountable.
And presumably they are not, you know, they're not just paid. Presumably they are trained and psychologically qualified to carry that weapon.
Presumably they didn't all come from another town that was run out of fiscal sustainability because of all the lawsuits that were won because they were racially biased, where they had to shut the motherfucking town down, basically,
And all those cops went to Ferguson.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, that irritates me also.
Well, it will, I mean, if there were any little right-wing lurkers out there anywhere listening to the program, they will be gratified to know that since we've talked a lot about firearms this evening, Todd, the only way you can, if you're talking about guns, the only way you can make the pasty-faced, doughy, white gun goons happy is if you say Chicago. Because why ain't you talking about Chicago when you talk about guns? Why are you coming after the law-abiding, standing God-fearing, Bible-believing citizens who just want to carry a gun? Because for protection, Wolverine's freedom. Well, yeah, there was one of the sadly ubiquitous gunfights in Chicago yesterday, and in the course of that firefight, a 9-year-old little boy got blown away, pronounced dead at the scene. Neighbor Raynetta Tyler said, "I feel so bad. This baby could do no wrong." Well, maybe he could do no wrong, but he had no rights. And you know, the fetus people out there, he had no right to life.
But
consider the guns in the... I'll warrant you that the guns in the firefight were not bought inside the city of Chicago. They were bought downstate where they're easy to acquire. Or they were bought over, up in Wisconsin, where they're easy to acquire. Bought in Indiana, where they are easy to acquire. Or maybe further south. I mean, it's like what you're saying, you know, adult video store, and let's get some Skittles, and some movie time popcorn, and a movie, and give me that Glock.
Exactly. I mean, I was like, this is a joke, right? And it has a little, you know, those little jewelry tags, like when you go to a jewelry store, it's a little white, it's got a little string, it's a little white tag with this.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
That, I was like, oh, really? No, and no check, no, like, okay, $45, really? That little 22? I could fit that in my boot. That sounds dangerous.
Oh, who carries a 22? I mean, honestly.
Well, this was in the 80s. That was those little tiny, they had these little tiny 22s, man, and they didn't look safe to me. They didn't look safe at all. I mean, not that I even fired a gun then, but they did not look safe at all. Yeah, you know, but back to the law enforcement, see, this is why I'm trying to give people tools to fire back with a retort. Because folks on the street don't have, like I said, you're lucky if they, you're not lucky, I mean, you might get shot, but if not, you might die a slow death of economic debilitation. Because they don't always tell the truth. And folks, whenever you hear a police report, remember, that's a one-sided narrative. And you were an English major, probably. You went to law school, so that's one of the... I'm just assuming, but usually people who go to law school, they major in English or something like that. Yeah, so the one-sided narrative means like, okay, this is what happened. And, no, I don't need any more input. Yeah, that's what happened.
Right.
But you know, I mean, it's helpful, but it's not good for empirical evidence.
No, it's deliberately one-sided. There's no, you know, there are no any defenses are not necessarily presented in the course of a police report.
And you know, and law enforcement, we need law. I put it like this, though, and I really well. Let me say this first. And I mean, that's your job, your law enforcement, and you have to do your job. And if you think you're making a good arrest, you're going to make your police report reflect that you made a good arrest. And you know, I mean, you're playing poker. What are you going to do? You're going to if you have a flush, you're going to play your flush, right? Whatever. But my point is that we have to look at things with a jaundiced eye, because I think most people are good. I don't know, maybe I always did think that. It's just a few bad. It's a few assholes that make everything just putrid.
Because the thing is, firearms and the easy access to and the open carry of same make those aforementioned as well. Firearms serve as a force multiplier to the aforementioned assholishness.
They do. That's where I was going. That's why I had a little lull. I had a verbal lull, and that's where I was going. That's exactly it. See, we have to look at, as an amateur historian, as an amateur historian, because I do come from a line of historian and professors, I will say. But, see, we are in hard economic times, plus firearms, plus racial tension, plus global tension. Plus, this shit is fucked up. The environment's fucked up. It smells moldy around here. You have no idea. South Carolina is one big fucking petri dish full of mold, man. It's really bad.
Oh, after the rains?
Oh, and it rained. No, we had torrential rain again. I get three times already. I mean, it rained torrentially all night last night. Like, really? I mean, it made me physically ill to hear it. It used to be soothing. Oh, that shit's not soothing now. I'm thinking the tree's going to fall. Anyway, sorry. No, but yeah, it's a lot, you know, and you know, you can't have all these people running around crazy like this, you know, and these cops, man, just like this Highway Patrol, and like if you're a poor white person here, that's like the best you can do. If you got like little or no education. You know, you graduated from high school, maybe you went to community college, you know, you took a whatever course, and you got no criminal record. You can be a highway patrolman. You just basically drive around the highway by yourself, and, you know, you go back to your barracks or whatever. And you don't have to have any sociology, no criminology. See, people get fucking twisted. They say, well, black people, they do this, they do that. Don't you see they get arrested all the time? It's like, well... You know what? If you lived in the city and live in the suburbs, you understand policing is different. Like, when I lived in the suburbs, the police, they are your friends. Because you see them out, they're like, hey, yo, Marvin, Bobby, what's up? You know, how you guys doing? You know, it's one big family. In the city, they look at everybody like a suspect. Just because you live in a neighborhood, everybody's next to you. Right.
Everybody's well, they look at everybody like a suspect because everybody is a suspect.
Right.
At least if you are of color.
Exactly. Like I put it like this: if you put a vacuum cleaner on everybody's car, first you're going to get dirt. So they put the vacuum cleaner on certain communities, and other communities that just use a dust broom. If everybody ever remembers what that was, remember those?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, so I have one more question before you kick me off the phone, and I'm absolutely serious.
I have never kicked anybody off the phone, Todd.
Well, I just have a really weird feeling. Like, how is it that America? I mean, we're as a whole, we're pretty good people, you know. Like I said before, if we weren't, most of us weren't good, there'd be anarchy, you know. And that's why a few bad cops are almost worse than no cops. You know, I'd rather go back to constables than to have, because it just messes it up for everybody. But anyway, we're mostly good people. So what are we going to do? With this stage of characters. You know, we're once again, at this point in history, we're presented with false options in terms of our president, right, the presidential election. And I'm just really looking at the GOP, really, because if it wasn't real, it's like we are in our own TV show now. I mean, seriously, I'm really beginning to feel that way. This can't be real.
I mean,
I was living in New York when Donald Trump was younger, and I was younger. I remember. Let me tell you about Donald Trump real quick.
Okay.
He used to buy apartment buildings, right? He used to buy these apartment buildings, and he would run them down and nothing. He figured out a way. He'd have good accountants, right? He'd run these, but make people leave. And then he'd put the money in and high rent. Because, you know, they got, in New York City, see, they had rent control. Like, if you get in, like, oh, my grandma, she's been in that apartment since 1956, right? She's paying hardly nothing in rent. Like, that's her home, though. I mean, where is she going to? You're in New York City. Where are you going to go? That's your home. Your apartment is your home.
Yeah.
You ain't got no lawn, but that's your...
But, I mean, you ain't got no lawn to mow, either.
No. It's kind of, you know, it's good and bad. You got your name. You know, it's a different dynamic, but it's pretty quiet. So, it's different. But... So, Do you see where I'm going with this? This is bizarre world. These are clowns. None of these people are serious. Because Donald Trump, I mean, what is up? Something's going. The other shoe has got to drop. These people can't be serious. Who is serious? These people aren't even.
I know. Right. And Jeb is such a screw up. So we talked last night. We talked last night about. How Jeb can fix it is the new slogan.
Wait a minute! I saw that shit on TV tonight, and it was in tiny. I was like, "That looks like some junior high school shit." Sorry.
Well, I mean, how clueless are you? As Robert pointed out from Australia last night, how clueless are you when your new campaign slogan is almost a direct lift from the TV show slogan, hashtag whatever, of a guy who turned out to be the biggest pedophile in English history. Jim will fix it. Jim will fix it. Yeah, that was disgusting. I mean, Robert sent me a link to the story of it, and I read about it some time back. But the guy was an ultra creeper, child rapist. And would cultivate children to have sex with, that he would he'd call out the letter. So it was apparently this thing where children would write him letters, and he would go and make things happen for them. And the ones whose letters didn't get done on air, well, he'd cultivate them to go and.
Oh, that was the BBC news presenter. Was that what you're talking about?
It was. I mean, I don't know that he was a presenter, but he was a show host.
Right.
And Jim will fix it, and lo and behold, but it gets even better. So when they announced their new when Jebbia lost his exclamation point, and they went to Jeb can fix it, they didn't register the domain name, Todd.
Uh oh.
Yeah, really.
That's a real bad move right there. That's a firing move. Sorry, you terminated.
They didn't. They didn't register JebCanFixThis.com.
Oh,
it's almost like it's congenital inside that
wait
family.
A minute,
just...
Wait a minute. This is. Oh man. Oh. He's done. But I mean. But honestly, his mother told him, Jeb, don't. She told him in public.
Well, she said in public, the world does not need another Bush presidency.
That's some fucked up shit, isn't it? I mean, goddamn, what your mother told you in fucking public, man? Listen, what the fuck is wrong with you? Sorry. I just, now look at him, and he's like, what? He's like a damn 10, like, well, my dad, my brother. You're a grown-ass man. Fuck your brother. This is about you being president. Okay, your brother? Nobody wants to hear about that war criminal. Shut the fuck up. Ugh. This is where we are. This is where we are. For real. Tell me I'm dreaming.
No, the nightmare is real, Todd. I'm sorry. And by the way... By the way, a couple of minutes ago, I got a message from Carol saying, Todd, that was epic!
What was that? I have no...
When you just kind of lost it a couple of minutes ago. And Carol said, you know, don't hold back, Todd.
What? I mean, anybody who's had just any common sense and just an I don't know, even a semblance of education, a little bit of civics. You have to see, this is ridiculous. I mean, but see, this is what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you something. Trump is dangerous. He's a snake.
Sure he is.
Hey, like I said, I lived in New York when he was a young man, when he had, I don't know. I didn't see him do any cocaine. But everybody who had money then was doing coke. Everybody who had money was doing, that was the thing. It was like gold chains. If you had money, you had a gold chain. He was a lizard, man. People hated him. I'm telling you, he would kick old ladies out. He would run. He would not do any maintenance on it. He figured out.
Well, his daddy was repeatedly cited for racist leasing and renting policies.
He's always been racist. He has always been. I'm telling you, you talk to somebody who's from New York City. You know what? Whatchamacallit? Mr. Indian knows. He knows. I bet you he's probably already commented on that. I don't know if he knows.
Angry? Yeah.
Angry knows. He knows. See, Donald Trump, and the thing is, he's not stupid, right? He knows exactly how to play these people. But I really don't think, I don't even think he knows what he wants to do. I don't think he thought he would get this far. Because you got to remember, if you understand Donald Trump, or at least this is obviously my take. This is what I understand. This is what I think I understand of him. First of all, I remember. Remember, I got a degree in a lot of hours in social science, and I'm good at studying people. Now, remember that press roast. Remember as Dean Martin roast when we were kids, right?
Oh yeah,
the
yeah.
Press roast. Last year.
I particularly remember Foster Brooks.
Well, you remember when the president did that crazy press roast, right? Last year.
Yeah.
And he made fun of Trump, and Trump was incensed. His little come over man was standing up. It looked like he touched one of Tesla's balls or something, man. It was all static electricity. He was pissed, and he was all beet red. And you could see it in his face. Like, if that wigger can be president, I can be president, too. And that's when he started his plot. Because you got to understand Trump. See, honestly, who would want their name? I don't want my name all over everything like that. Plastered everywhere. That might look fun at first. I have one, like, if I had a little store, I put my name on it. Fine. But I would feel funny, man. To see my name everywhere, that would make me feel. I'm trying to get more humble as I get older. I really am. I mean, I might be boisterous on the phone, but I mean, I feel like you look around in the world, man. There's a lot of misfortune. A lot of people just.
Look. I mean, Trump is a moron, okay? But he's also a megalomaniac, and that's why he enjoys having his name put all over everything. He wants to deport 11 million human beings from the United States. It came as somewhat of a surprise. I saw a story the other day where Anthony Bourdain, had responded and said, "Listen, dumbass." Well, maybe he didn't call him dumbass, but he said, "If you deport all the undocumented immigrants in the United States, the entire restaurant industry is going to collapse." Because he said, "Go into any great restaurant in any great city." The people back in the kitchen, the line cooks, they aren't, you know, that's not some kid from Peoria. That's an undocumented immigrant from Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, Ecuador. And they're the best chefs in the country.
Well, I got news from Donald Trump. Apparently, he wants to negate the true history of this country. A lot of people from Mexico, what we call Mexico and Central America, basically they're going back where they came from anyway, because before the Spanish came here, you know, they were Indians and they migrated. Especially
the history of human habitation of this continent is one of constant migration.
And he's a newcomer, so he needs to shut the fuck up and go and tangle his hair, do something. He needs to go sit the fuck down. Because he's you know what though? It's not Trump's fault. See, all this shit, Bob, all this stuff, that irritates us. All this stuff, it's our fault. You know why? Because we didn't stand up when we had a chance. We didn't stand up. Remember when they started pulling PE out of school?
Mm-hmm.
It was a slow boil. Then it was the arts.
Civics instruction went pretty early, too.
Civics, and see, this is an insidious thing now. Now you have the charters. Now, you know, and I did the charter. I don't want to go into what I did before. You heard all that. But see, they're going to privatize everything until we have nothing, because when they get the advertising in there, and they can brainwash these kids like they're doing now. When you're able to rewrite history, and look at what Texas has been able to do. How can you call slaves migrant or immigrants? You're not a fucking immigrant. A slave is not an immigrant.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. No, I do. Yeah, the Texas. Well, yeah.
If everybody doesn't know, Texas, basically, in other words, when Texas says they need textbooks.
Yeah, Texas got caught. Texas got caught trying to slip one past the country. In a geography book, where they said that Africans were imported as immigrant workers.
Right.
Yeah, right. Not slaves.
No. You know, you got to clean it up. Like, no, we didn't do that. Oh no, we wouldn't do that. Well, hell no. It was interesting. Because of all this rain, I could not sleep, because it's just, you have no idea how depressing it is. And these dams are about to blow again around here. But anyway, there's a really good video on YouTube with this gentleman. His name is Bill Cooper or Bob Cooper, something like that. What the hell is his name? But he wrote a book way back in the 70s or 80s, and he predicted a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it was so dated. I mean, I was just up. But a lot of this stuff is a plan, and I used to poo-poo it. I remember I had an uncle. I had the proverbial wealthy uncle. I really did. And we would sit down. And he would tell me this, and he was an architect, among other things. And we would sit down, and as I got older, I remember the first time he told me this. He said, you know, and I thought he was bullshitting. I really did. I thought he was pulling my leg. He set me down. He said, you know, he said, there are people. He said, there's just a handful of people that run everything in the world. And what they do is they go out on these boats on international waters, and they make agreements, and there's no one around but them and maybe one servant that they control, and then that's it. And I was like, I was like maybe 12, 11, 12, and he would tell me this all the time. And then as I got older, he would be more in depth about it. And I really didn't know the nature of his business, but he was an international traveler, and, you know, he'd been to Saudi, and he would tell me how terrible the Saudis, man, they, you know. You got your own religion. I don't judge anybody's religion, but I've been hearing some bad things. And see the stuff we're hearing now, that's how they operate. Saudis, they're really about that brutal law shit. And they're not nice to women. And they get those people from Southeast Asia, you know, to come in and do the work. And they, those women and the children, they do some bad things. You know, but that's them. And remember, that's Saud Arabia. That's Saud. They own that whole shit. One family, Saud. That's them.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And remember, they're the Wahhabis, right?
Yes, they are.
This whole shit is fucked up. This whole shit is rigged, man. All this shit is fucking rigged. Everybody who's listening to me right now, read, and if you can read this on e-books for free. It's called War is a Racket. It's very short.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Smedley Butler, sure.
Smedley. Right, Smedley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two-time Medal of Honor winner.
Mm-hmm. between Smedley and what Eisenhower said at the end of his presidency, you had to fill in the gaps. Because this is what I want to know. With all this nonsense over there, the ISIS this, ISIS that, blah, 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 where are these folks getting ammunition from?
Yeah, there's that, see.
Mm-hmm. Where are they getting the ammunition? Where are they getting the money to buy the ammunition? And the answer is the serene royal house and family of Ibn Saud.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we have here, my friend, is a new triangle trade. Instead of rum, slaves and whatnot, weapons and this and that and bric-a-brac, what we have now is heroin, arms, and warfare. Because I'm going to tell you something. Before I moved from Philadelphia, right, I had never seen, and I mean, I worked in the hood, internet, you know, schools in the hood. You know, I started subbing. That's how I really got started with subbing. And they, when you're a sub, they send you to the worst schools. You know, in the worst neighborhoods, I put it like that.
Sure.
In the worst neighborhoods, not the worst schools. It's not the kids, it's the neighborhood. So, and I remember, I had never seen any, I had never seen heroin before. And people, this dude just walked up to me and was like, you want a bundle? I'm telling you. I was like, what are you talking about? And it's like these little glass of seen envelopes, right, with a rubber band. He's like, this, you know, I was like, this was in the 90s, right? Right when we got in there. Why do you think we can't leave Afghanistan?
Main reason. Well, because of that article that was in the New York Times a few years back, Afghanistan discovered to contain a wealth of rare earth element mineral deposits.
That's one reason. That's a very good reason. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Afghanistan is the new Grand Central. If you imagine now, instead of like the subway system in your city, now we have a subway system globally, all right? Or a transportation system. Afghanistan is the new Grand Central Station with resources. So imagine a Grand Central Station where you have resources. And the reason I say Grand Central Station is not only do you have natural gas and oil pipelines coming through it from all the Stan countries, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan.
Yeah, the Caspian Sea Basin.
Right, right. And see that's a whole other aspect of this Crimea, other stuff that I want to talk about with you one day. That's a whole other aspect of that. So, but then we got, I mean, who's going to give up, honest to God, who's going to give up that much illicit income?
Yeah.
Now, we know that our spy agencies, they need money off the books. I mean, traditionally, this is how they've gotten their money. And they already know. They've already done this in Vietnam. I mean, they did it in Vietnam. They did it in Central America in the 80s. They have the infrastructure set up, right? I'm not saying they're doing it, but I'm saying, boy, if they're not, they're stupid. So that's what they don't want to give that up. If they give it up, somebody else is going to get it. It's a dirty business, man.
Sure. Well, I read an article the other day, Todd, about the opening of the Northwest Passage, you know, because it's melted.
Well, that's fucked up.
And as recently as last month, it was still open.
There wasn't no black people live there.
Huh?
Nothing.
Well, here's the fun part. Canada claims that, but China is very interested in getting up there and drilling for oil. So it's going to get real interesting real quick.
Oh, wait a minute. How far is that from St. John's Bay?
I mean, we're talking about the Arctic.
Oh, you mean the way up?
Yeah, you can go by water from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean now.
Oh, so it's flush.
No, it's water. It's melted. It's for, you know, 6 or so months of the year. It's open to navigation.
Oh, that's probably not a good thing.
No, it's not. And there will eventually probably be conflict over who gets the oil. But the Chinese would do well not to screw with the Canadians. because they're not kidding. Hmm. When they sing that line about "We stand on guard for thee," they ain't kidding. You know, as an amateur historian, you probably know every time the United States has felt froggy and gone across the Canadian border, the Canadians have righteously handed our asses to us and sent us running right back home.
Going way back.
Yeah, 1812, a bunch of Canadians came down and set fire to Washington, D.C. We blame the British, yeah. but those British troops were Canadian.
They're all nice till they're not.
Yeah. But if you leave them alone, well, you don't have a problem.
Well, I like that philosophy, leave them alone. Did you guys vote today?
No, we didn't really have any electing going on here. Now, Kentucky and Ohio are, though.
I would love to be in Ohio. That's like going to a restaurant that has nothing but good food. They got some good issues on the table.
Oh well, today was the marijuana ballot, was it not?
Correct. It was. Speaking of marijuana, this is what I really don't get. As a mature man that I am, you know, as far as I understand, at this point, mankind has been cultivating marijuana for ever. Basically, it's a friendly plant. It's pretty good. Like, if you do the history, I'm not going to get into all that nonsense, but anyway, it's not nonsense. And my thing is, I don't understand this. It's a plant that you can grow. So, basically, why is it that you just can't grow what you use, grow what you want, and it's nobody else's business, and then that's the end of the story?
Because nobody's going to do that. Hmm. I only say that because capitalism. I mean, sure, you might grow for personal use, but, you know, maybe you grow a couple of extra plants just to cover your costs.
I didn't mean exclusively. What I'm saying is that if you're going to get it sold in the store, then I don't want to have to be regulated to having to buy it at the store. I want you to sell good seeds so that people who are farmers, they can choose to grow what they want, and they don't have to deal with the store. And I have a good segue to this.
Okay.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, because it's already that way in D.C. D.C. is wide open now. Are you aware of that?
It's not wide. You can't walk down the street honking on a doobie.
Well, not, no. Are you kidding? D.C. is Spook City. No, I mean, but you can grow in your house.
Yeah, and you can sit on your couch and blaze up, sure. But you can't do it in the federal area.
Well, no, that would be bad. No, I don't do too much in this. I mean, that's, you know, places for family.
No, the Capitol Hill area that's under the jurisdiction of the federal government. The D.C. legalization does not affect that area.
God, D.C. is beautiful.
Oh, in many ways, I love D.C. and I hate the way it behaves. And by the way, I know you love Dr. Bill's programs. His discussion on how D.C. wound up D.C. has been absolutely fascinating.
What episode is that?
He started on it last week, last Monday, and then yesterday and today.
I started back at the top, and I got to 26th of October, so then he said, something here, a respiratory issue.
Then there's yesterday, and I haven't put up the file for today yet. And then we'll go again tomorrow.
Okay. I don't know what the demographic of your listenership is, but if folks who live on the East Coast, and thank God I was fortunate on both ends. I had family who lived in D.C., the D.C. area, and the job would send me there a lot. But that is, I mean, the museums are free. And it's just, like, I don't have any kids or anything, but even if you don't, I would be done at work at 1 o'clock. And when I would head over to that damn zoo And the zoo takes, if you really like animals, it's a 3-day visit that you can do. If you have 3 days, so you can study the, I mean, did you see the prairie dogs?
Yes.
What did you think about that?
Oh, I like the whole DC Zoo. You know, we saw the pandas, Ferg and Doodle and I went there together a couple of summers back, and they were a little iffy about going into the reptile house, but they loved the primates.
Oh, you have a snake thing?
Yeah, they weren't crazy about the snakes or the tarantulas.
Well, you wouldn't have been a good candidate for Pentecostal, I guess, huh?
You pass me a snake. You pass me a snake. I'm just going to step back and let you pass it to, Sister Kim next to me or whatever. Oh, by the way, breaking news, Todd. Isaac in Ohio just tweeted along to me that in Kentucky they have elected themselves a teabagger governor.
Oh, shoot.
Who will now move to shut down the Medicaid expansion in the Commonwealth?
I feel that we're in for a rocky road ahead. A lot of people don't understand that the Affordable Health Care Act was slowly dismantled with this budget deal. The one little piece that had to do with small businesses.
Well, some of the exchanges are failing.
Yeah. See, they didn't go far enough. I don't understand. I really don't get it. What are these people afraid of? Do you want disease people? Like, did these people not read Dickens? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. They don't teach English anymore.
These people don't read.
My bad.
Teabaggers don't read things. Well, I mean, okay. They might read, like, Mark Levin's book and understand every, third or fourth word.
What? These liberals, I know them. They're vermin. Get away from them. I hated them. Sorry.
No. That's savage. They're vermin. I'm telling you, they're vermin, these liberals. Liberalism is a mental disorder.
What? Wait a minute. I have one question for you, though. Seriously. Now, as a junior student in history, I find it very difficult to find an instance where the left was not right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being flip.
No, I know you're not.
I'm serious.
No, conservatism is always a failure. It's always a failure for, like, the working class. It never works out well for the working class. Sometimes it works out well, spectacularly well, for the wealth class.
But if people don't have money to buy things, then what happens?
That doesn't. In conservatism, that doesn't matter as long as it's not happening to the wealthy.
All right.
They just open their New Testament to that line in the Gospels where Jesus looks up and goes, "The poor ye have always with ye," and the wealthy say, "See."
Well, you know what? I think this new heroin scourge is just another nail in the coffin. These people, you gotta remember, I don't know. They are a handful of bright folks, and they get the right people to just drag in the masses, because if you think about it, they are hitting this thing. They are really good at this pragmatic stuff. All right, they've suppressed the vote. They already figured out, we have to have low voter turnout because high voter turnout, benefits the working class. We have to make it hard to vote. And, apparently Americans are asleep. They're watching too much TV and they're getting hypnotized or whatnot and whatever. And, so that's by the wayside now. So now we've got to get back voting rights again because apparently you got people voting two and three times and it's swinging elections because three people voted. Illegal. Can you imagine three people? God damn it. I hate those people. They voted three times. Oh, they ought to be shot. Right? So that's the way they feel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the flip side is that, hey, Poppy, I think you need to go to bed.
go to bed. Good night. Talking to the dog.
I gathered as much.
Yeah. So now what happens is that we're all asleep, right? We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. I was about to get
started. That's okay, and I agree with you, but you're going to have a hell of a hard time explaining to the teabaggers that they're asleep. Because they think they're the only ones who are awake. They're the only ones who understand what a threat America faces from the Kenyan Muslim usurper.
All right, this is something I don't understand, though, for real.
Oh, speaking of which, did you catch where Barack Obama seriously trolled the Republicans? At this point in time, he's just punking them when he feels like it. It was hilarious.
Oh, when he took the shot when he was at that fundraiser on Broadway.
Was that where it was? Where he said, you know, if you watch these debates, they're always talking about Obama's weak. Obama can't stand up to Putin. He's just getting and so lo and behold. He said, I got the quote here. Hang on. Charlie Pierce featured it over at his blog at Esquire. It really is delightful. Have you noticed that every one of these candidates says Obama's weak, Putin's kicking sand in his face? When I talk to Putin, he's going to straighten out, Obama said, impersonating a refrain among Republican candidates that he's allowed Russian President Vladimir Putin too much leeway. Then it turns out they can't handle a bunch of CNBC moderators at the debate. Let me tell you, if you can't handle those guys, then I don't think the Chinese and the Russians are going to be too worried about you.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't
have. I mean, okay. That's just a great big, hey, GOP, suck it.
What? See, right, now, I think that possibly, all right, good girl, she had to go out. I think that, right. So, all right, you and I'm going off on a limb, as they say. We understand him to be saying, you know, you look like morons to the rest of the world.
That's because the rest of the world's stupid.
Well,
I mean, you can't break through the stupidity of teabaggery. Okay, you can't be done. It's, I don't know, they're fueled by unobtainium or something.
I was not making that up earlier. Seriously, I didn't believe it when somebody told me that, right? Until I went there to do research about Lexington County, and I have friends who live there and don't like going over there. It's Jake Knotts, this councilman or over there, he's got this podcast. I mean, they're foul over there, man. If these people had their way, there would still be slavery, honest to God. They'd be nice to the black folks, but they're, you know, you'd still be a slave. How do I put it? I don't know. It's like they have a block in some of the neurons in their brain where the logic is not there. It's like, you know what it's like? It is. I hate to go back to this. It's like that. What the author Helper described that Dr. Bill talked about. There's an author back in the 1830s who wrote a book about how the working class white folks in the South, you know, they didn't really benefit from slavery, but they had people hoodwinked that they were, and Helper was not necessarily, you know, pro black or anything, according to Dr. Bill. But at least they weren't, you know, at least they weren't the niggers, right? That's basically what it comes down to. So. But, you know, I blame a lot of this on religion, too, because these Southern Baptists, man, they take this shit too far. It is, you know, it's kind of turning me off a little bit. Because, like, I'm religious. Like, I mean, I was an alkaline. And I'll be honest with you, I can feel the spirit of God. When you're up on the altar,
yeah,
with the pastor going, oh, that was, I like that. But these people are weird, man. They're fucking weirdos.
Well, okay, and I think Devin just got the evening's toaster here. He says, Todd, they are powered by oblivion, with a capital O. They are powered by oblivion, the vacuum energy of endless nothingness.
I don't know what that means.
They're power. Okay, Devin, you want to help? They're powered. They're fueled by their ignorance, the nothingness of their intellect.
Well, that's like one of those little. Look, when you go to the stream and you see those little eddy things, and it's just little circles, and it's like, well, you could get out if you wanted to, but you just want to chase your tail. Is that what you're saying?
Kinda. Maybe I not. Think, yeah.
You caught in your little bubble? I don't know. That's just the antithesis of
yeah,
what
Devin says they're death eaters.
Well... Yeah, well, the Dominionists. That's why they, you know, Israel has to do such and such so they can. My trouble is that these folks, you know what's funny? Now you're not, you don't like religion, you're not into it, whatever, you know, you got your thing, but you know more about it than they do, and that's what's so fucking preposterous. You know more.
Well, I mean,
about
Todd, that's generally the case with agnostics and free thinkers and atheists, and in large part, it's because they've studied their holy books that they want nothing to do with them.
Oh, wait a minute! Tomorrow's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is.
You have plans?
I got all kinds of prayer meeting Wednesday stuff already.
There's a lot around here, let me tell you.
No, tomorrow's going to be a winner.
Let me ask you one thing.
Sure.
Seriously, we talked about the Triangle Trail a little earlier. I'm feeling like, when I look at all the history I've learned and whatnot over the years and practical experience, now that we are down to $10 is like an hour is what folks are getting paid who used to be professional people in a union, right? And they're getting $10 an hour now. Are we at the point where capitalism, American capitalism, which basically is global capitalism because we taught the world how to be capitalist, are we now basically, is America eating themselves? Are we capitalizing our little nation states now? Our state nations within our own country? I mean, while we colonizing, that's what I meant to say. We're colonizing. In other words, are we just starting to eat our own now?
Hey, we always have to a certain extent. The westward expansion of this country was fueled on humans consuming other humans. Just ask any Native American. I mean, it just so happened that through the miracle of the internet, I was wandering around history the other day, and I noted that on November the 1st, because it was November the 1st, 2 days ago, would have been my dad's 91st birthday, and I don't know why I wound up doing this, but I looked up a guy named George Colbert. Like same spelling as Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
But George and Levi and James Colbert were three brothers, the sons of a fellow named Colbert and a Chickasaw woman. And they were raised bilingually inside the Chickasaw community because the Chickasaw people were matrilineal.
Okay,
and so Levi Colbert was known as Itawamba Mingo. bench chief. And he and his brother George had extensive dealings with Andrew Jackson. And on the,
really? He hated Indians.
Well, yeah, but he also had Indians who fought on his side during the Creek Wars. And the Chickasaws did. But on November the 1st, 1826, Levi Colbert, and his Chickasaw name, Itawamba, is the name of a county now in Mississippi. And his brother, George Colbert, Colbert County, Alabama, is named for him. But on November 1st, 1826, Levi Colbert, Itawamba, said flatly that no member of the Chickasaw Nation would sell his land in whole or in part to the United States government. By like 1832, that position had changed because Jackson had made it clear that he would murder the Chickasaws down to the last man, woman, and child.
He made it clear. How clear do you make it?
Well, the Indian Removal Act of 1830.
That's pretty clear.
And so, lo and behold, Jackson then and his buddy, General John Coffey, who lived in the area that is now known as Florence, Alabama, where I grew up, basically became the landowners of the federal lands that were taken over by the government with the removal of the Chickasaw people of that region. The house where I grew up, the land that it sat on, when you buy property in Alabama, you get something called an abstract of title. And it's like a family history of your piece of land. And the first entry in that abstract of title was, you know, this land is owned by General Coffey and General Jackson's land company.
And it goes back and back and back.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and the reason I mention all that, yes, this country is predicated on the human consumption of other humans. Just because we ain't cooking them doesn't mean we're not consuming them.
Well, you know, you really spiced up my evening, and now I can go into my other chores. Not other chores. Now I can go into my chores. And Bob, you're doing a great job, and I hope I like your subscription service. Yes, I think that's a good idea, and that takes the guesswork out. So everyone, please just click recurring when you go to your PayPal or your MasterCard or Visa at the website.
Right, exactly. And in fact, I had a note from Roger a little bit out in Oregon a minute ago. He said, FYI on funding, I won't be able to listen live tomorrow, but wanted to let you know, and maybe some others will want to do the same. He said, after my next credit card statement arrives, I've decided to do the monthly subscription thing, but in a special amount. The amount will be $12.17. December the 17th is Bradley Manning's birthday, Chelsea Manning's birthday, and the new Pope's, too, for that matter. So thank you, Roger. And that's a nice little way of remembering.
That's an interesting connection there.
And meanwhile, John has jumped in on the subscription bandwagon. And thank you very kindly, John, for that. And you know what? We may find those 400 people. It may happen.
Now, this is just the first week. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. This is the renewal of the effort. We tried this a couple of years ago, and it didn't go very far. We do have some subscribers, and are very, very grateful for them. But if we can push that number up to 400, then I never mention fundraising again. And won't that be a beautiful thing?
Speaking of Mike Malloy, are you still up for that?
Oh, yeah, we're working toward that. In fact, I've been, that's something else for me to put out there. Chris in Germany offered up a $250 matching challenge for anybody who wants to kick into the equipment fund. Just note it on your PayPal or your mail or whatever, And yeah, we're getting there. We've got two out of the three gizmos we need, and we have we've replaced almost every piece of equipment in the studio, so as to get rid of most of the unpleasant noises.
Bob, you're doing more. There's no word for what you're doing, other than better than good. Everyone loves what you're doing, and
well, I'm not doing it, Todd. We're doing it. This isn't me. This is a community.
Well, family has to stick together.
Yeah, this is the determination of the Horn Family Commune Congregation.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Todd. Bye now. Our buddy Todd in South Carolina. So, yeah, the equipment challenge is on the table as well. We've got about $100 to go in fundraising for the evening, and we've got six new subscribers. And remember, as you subscribe, make sure I've got a mailing address, and I'll get you a bumper sticker out, and that'll be fun. Meanwhile, a while back, Brother Deacon Asa observed, he said, "You blew my mind with the seeking asylum comment. What a clever way of looking at it." And he says, "You're an absolute genius." I'm not an absolute genius. I'm not even an unabsolute genius. I'm not a genius. But how can you not try to think about solutions when simply going down to the Rippy Mart to put gas in your car becomes a trip through a potential war zone thanks to the NRA in this country? Trying to go and live in a country that isn't all gunned up would be a matter of seeking asylum, wouldn't it? Asa also continued, "I thoroughly enjoyed the lesson on English common law, too." Oh, God. I wonder what would be on those brain cells if it wasn't that stuff. Yeah. Exactly. So thanks, everybody, for joining in this evening. Thanks for your participation in the chat room. And thanks for your participation in keeping the horn on the air. Thanks for responding to Joan's call for subscribers. Thanks for spending your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.